Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17, and the title of the message this morning is Change, but don't change everything. Change, but don't change everything. And we're going to show you that this morning from this section in 1 Corinthians. Paul had just got through, just to go back some, Paul had just gotten through talking about divorce and remarriage, and he was answering, he's in a section here in 1 Corinthians where he's answering their questions. The people had written him some questions. And 1 Corinthians is written to a church that had a variety of problems and issues. They had divisions, they had doctrinal problems, but they also had some questions that they sincerely wanted answered, and these questions reveal some further problems that they were having. So one of the things they wanted to know about was, and we studied this a couple of weeks ago, was if I get married to somebody and that person is, if we got married when we both were lost, when we both were pagans, because the people would worship idols. So if we both were idol worshipers and then I get saved, but my wife's a heathen and she refuses to get saved, should I divorce my wife? And Paul says, absolutely not. Stay married. That's what he says. And then women might say, well, I got saved and my husband refuses to get saved. He won't go to church. Should I divorce my husband? And Paul says no. And so he gives some guidelines there. And then he gets into a section where he talks about staying consistent and not changing everything in your life. Once you get saved, you're going to change, but not change everything. And he broadens that out and discusses some other topics, and we can apply this to a variety of situations. And so that's what we'll do this morning. Change, but don't change everything. 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 24. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach this morning, and these that are saved as they hear. I pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that you would convict them and save their souls this morning. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. I'm glad y'all sat back down over there, because that whole side was empty earlier and it was scaring me. I thought half the church was leaving. But at any rate, the scripture this morning, let's read verse 17. Verse 17 says, "But as God hath distributed to every man, and as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all churches." And he's coming, as I said, he's coming right off of this discussion about husbands and wives. For instance, in verse 12, he says, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away," or don't get a divorce. "And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him." And then he goes on and discusses that. And in fact, in verse 16, he says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" And then in verse 17, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches." And so we get saved. We obviously change when we get saved, but that doesn't mean we change everything. It doesn't mean, you know, that they should leave their spouses. It doesn't mean they should change everything in their lives. Now, by way of introduction, let me say that a call from Christ is a call to change. A call from Christ is a call to change. If the phone rang today and the president called and said, I want you to come to Washington and serve in the White House, first of all, I believe I'd have to turn him down because I've got a more important position as the pastor of a church than I would have serving in the government. But if he called and you went, that would be a call to change. Your whole life would change. If you got a call from some great leader of some huge company and they said, come to our company and we're going to give you a new position, new job, that would be a call to change. There's always change. But when Christ calls you, that's the ultimate call. And it always means the ultimate change. A call from Christ is a call to change. The scriptures that we're going to read this morning talk about two callings. Two callings. And we'll see this as we read on down. The first calling is the call of Christ to salvation, which results in a changed life. And the second calling that it talks about in here is the call of life in general. In other words, your career, your heritage, your family. These things should be consistent. So we change, but we don't change everything. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The Life Application Study Bible says this. Apparently, the Corinthians were ready to make wholesale changes without thinking through the ramifications. Paul was writing to say that people should be Christians where they are. You can do God's work and demonstrate your faith anywhere. If you become a Christian after marriage and your spouse is not a believer, remember that you don't have to be married to a Christian to live for Christ. It helps, but you don't have to be. Don't assume that you are in the wrong place or stuck with the wrong person. You may just be where God wants you. See 1 Corinthians 7:20. And so, these Corinthians were ready to basically throw away everything in their life and in their past and do something totally different. And Paul says, wait a second, God's saved you in the middle of your life and you got to work from where you're at. And so change, but don't change everything. Now, the first thing that he says here, talking about a calling from God, is he says, live out your calling in your calling. Live out your calling in your calling. 1 Corinthians 7:17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Paul said, my rule in all the churches is that wherever you get saved, wherever you're at, live the Christian life within the context of where you're at. And the first part of the verse says, but as God hath distributed to every man. Now, Matthew Henry makes an interesting comment on that. He says, our states and circumstances in this world are distributions of divine providence. Our states and circumstances in this world are distributions of divine providence. So, as God hath distributed to every man, God distributes to us certain circumstances in life, certain places in life. God determines where you're born. He determines who your parents are. He determines what your heritage was. He opened the door and gave you a job to work. He's given you grandchildren. He's given you children. He's put you in a certain place. He's put you in Harmony Baptist Church. And those things are distributions of divine providence. That's from the providence of God. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. John Gill says, as the Lord hath called everyone, which is to be understood of that particular station of life and those circumstances of it in which men are providentially placed by God or are found in when he calls them by his grace, as whether married or unmarried, as the scriptures already talked about, whether joined to a believer or an unbeliever, whether circumcised or uncircumcised, as it's going to talk about in a moment, whether bond or free, a servant or master, and so may refer to what follows as well as to what has gone before. And so, when God says, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. That calling comes in that particular station of life that you're in, which is given to you by the providence of God. God has given everyone a life to live. Live the life that God has given to you. A lot of people are always dissatisfied with their lives, wherever life is at. You get a job and you want a new job. Now, sometimes you need a new job, but a lot of times we have good paying jobs and we want a new job. You get married and you want a new spouse. You get a dog and you want a new dog. I've had that problem before, but that new dog I got was nice for a week, and then he turned out to be kind of a troublemaker, and so we got rid of him. But people always want change, and we need to live the life that God has given us to live. Don't just exist in life, live life where God has given you a life to live. Now, Paul gives a physical illustration of this here, and he gives an illustration that would have been common with those people, something they thought about quite a bit, and that was circumcision. 1 Corinthians 7:18. The Bible says, "Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised." Now, circumcision indicated whether you were a Jew and follower of the Jewish beliefs or whether you were a Gentile. And there were people that got saved and decided, well, I want to be like a Jew. In fact, that's what, when we studied the book of Galatians, the Jews had come over from Jerusalem and had told the people, unless you get circumcised and start following the law of Moses, then you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be right with God. You have to become like a Jew in order to live for Jesus Christ. And Paul said, no, that's not true at all. You don't have to become like a Jew. But there were people that got saved and then said, well, I want to become like a Jew. On the other hand, there were people that got saved, and they were Jews. They came from a Jewish family, a Jewish heritage, and they said, hey, now that I'm saved, I want to become like a Gentile because I'm not under the law anymore. And Paul says, no. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. If you come from a Jewish background, keep some of that background. Change, but don't change everything. If you are a Gentile, don't try and become a Jew. Change, but don't change everything. God will use whatever is in your heritage. God will use your family. He'll use the circumstances you were brought up in. He will use you and the circumstances that you are in. Change, but don't change everything. In fact, Paul says, verse 19, circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Now, what's important? Keeping the commandments of God. William Tyndale translated that verse this way, and I think it's interesting to see how he translated it. He said, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God is altogether, which is an old way of saying, because that was done in the 1500s, but that's an old way of saying the keeping of the commandments of God is everything. So in other words, circumcision's nothing, Paul says. Uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God, that's what's important. That's what's important. And so God wants us to not worry about these petty things and not be so obsessed with them, but to just be focused on keeping the commandments of God. By the way, there's parts of my heritage, just using myself as an illustration, I was raised in the Presbyterian church. All right? I'm always going to have, a lot of my family's Presbyterian, I'm always going to have that heritage in me and some of that in me, even though I'm a Baptist now. I never was a very good Presbyterian. I think I was always going towards being a Baptist. But at any rate, I'll have some of that heritage in me. My wife and I used to be missionaries. We're always going to love missions. In fact, one of the things that we said when we came to this church and when we accepted the call to this church is we told the pulpit committee, we're going to take mission trips and we're going to put missions front and center when we came here. And that's one of the things, and we can't get rid of that. Somebody might say, well, I wish you'd get rid of that and focus on something besides missions, but we can't do that. It's part of us. It's part of our heritage. It's part of who we are and the calling of God. And so, the important thing, Paul says, are you called being uncircumcised? Don't be circumcised. Are you called being circumcised? Don't be uncircumcised. Don't try and change everything. Don't try and change your heritage. Change, but don't change everything. And the important thing, circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God is everything. So Paul has said, live out your calling in your calling. Number two, stay in the same calling where you were called. Stay in the same calling where you were called. This is an interesting couple of verses here, but verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 7 says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. The word abide means to remain or to stay. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Chuck Smith said this. He said, so the calling is where I was called. The calling in where I was called, abide in that calling. Don't try to change things radically after you become a Christian unless the life that you were living or the occupation that you had is so totally antagonistic towards Christian principles that you've got to get out. There's circumstances like that, obviously. Somebody gets saved and maybe they're a drug dealer. Well, you don't need to remain a drug dealer after you get saved. Quit dealing drugs. And there's all kinds of things we could say about things like that, but the point is that normally, for instance, he's about to give an illustration of a vocation, and he's going to talk about servants and masters. And I'll just give you an illustration to illustrate this. I know a businessman who's a wildly successful businessman. I've known him for years and years. My wife and I have known him for years and years. But he at one time was talking about, well, maybe I'll leave business and go be a missionary and pastor a church. And his pastor told him, you need to stay a businessman. Now, he's a good teacher, and he loves missions, but his gift is in business. He makes money while most people are sleeping. I mean, he's able to just, that's what he does, and God's gifted him in that. And he's a good teacher, but he's not a pastor. That's not his calling. I know a missionary who was wildly successful as a missionary, and this was several years ago, many years ago actually. I don't guess it's that many years ago, but it seems like it. It's things I want to forget. But at any rate, I left mission work and tried to be a businessman to help my father. And I was never cut out to be a businessman. In fact, I told Brother John Pearson, who helped us out during that time, I said, John, if I ever mention to you being a businessman again, stop me. Stop me. And he said, no, I think you could do it now. And I said, no, I couldn't. Stop me. Believe me. Don't let me do it. But at any rate, I was, during that time period, I was sitting in a group of missionaries in a meeting, and this big, very well-known missionary who also now pastors in the United States, and if I called his name, a lot of you would know it, but he said, I could be a businessman if I wanted to be. I think I could be a good businessman. And I shook my head. And my friend, who's a businessman, was sitting there, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, don't do it. Don't do it. And he said, no, I could be good at it if I tried to do it. And I said, you'll regret it. Don't try it. Don't do it. That's not his calling. The calling that God has given us, and the Bible talks here about a vocation, and it basically says, stick with the calling God has given you. We have a vocation illustration, and look in verse 21, if you will, please. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Now what he's saying is, of course, back in that time they had slaves. And it wasn't the same as our slavery. You know, whenever we say slave, people instantly in the South, they think of ships going over to Africa and loading up black people and bringing them to the United States and putting them out in the field picking cotton. And that's not what they were talking about here. It's amazing, but we always take what we know and we put it on the Scriptures. But that's not how slavery worked in Scripture times. These people were not kidnapped. What happened was a person would owe somebody money. And they didn't have a way to pay it, so what they would do is they would become essentially an indentured servant. And they would go to work for this person, and they would be bound to work for that person until their debt was paid off. And that was a large amount of the slavery that existed at that time. And some people who were slaves, who were in that circumstance, their master would get saved. And the slave would get saved. The servant would get saved. And so the servant might say, well, I'm free in Christ. My master shouldn't be telling me what to do anymore. And Paul says, for he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. So back in verse 21, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So if you're called to Christ when you're a servant, don't worry about it. Just serve. Just serve, because he goes on to say, even if you're serving, you're really free in Christ. And even if you're free, as far as society goes, you're really Christ's servant. Now, we don't have slaves today. There is slavery going on in the world today. But we actually, statistics have shown that there's a large amount of slavery going on in the world today. But the point is that in the United States and in other developed countries that may listen to this, we have jobs. We have jobs. And so the point is, if God's given you a career, just because you're saved, it doesn't mean, unless you're doing something immoral, it doesn't mean that you need to change careers immediately and throw it all away. God has given you special gifts and talents. And you need to utilize those gifts and talents where you're at and live for Christ where you are at. Some of you are good business people. Be a testimony for Christ in your business. Be honest. Do a good job. Work hard. Use that as a testimony for Christ. God has called others of you to be... Well, just practical things, to be grandparents. Maybe you're retired and you're a grandparent, okay? Come to church, be a testimony for your grandchildren. Do whatever God, wherever God has placed you, serve God where He has placed you. Change, but don't change everything. Change, but don't change everything. The Corinthians were under the mistaken impression that the call of Christ was a call to just throw away their old life, to throw away their marriage, to throw away their heritage, to change everything in their lives. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God's given you influence where you're at. Serve Christ where you're at. By the way, the great thing that the church needs is stability. Stability. And the people that are here, these are the stable folks for the most part. We have other people that are sick, that are stable, but for the most part, this is what makes the church tick, is the folks that are here today. This is stable. So let's stay in our place. Let's be stable. And let's see this thing work. And when we have new people come in, and sometimes those people will come in and they'll come for a couple of weeks and then they'll be gone and then they'll come back and then they'll be gone. Don't look too critically on those people because they're going to take some time to get in. And a lot of people won't be as stable in the younger generation as the older generation was unless we disciple them and work with them. So you make sure that you're in your place. People look up to you. You may not believe that, but people do. There's people that come in here, and when they see that you're here, it makes them think, I made the right decision to be here. There's some people that if they were to come in here and see that you're not here, it discourages them. And we understand people have got to take vacations. I'm not talking about all that, but I'm just saying God's given you a church. He's given you a place to serve. Serve in this church. Change. Live for Christ. But don't change everything. Some people in Dalton make it a career to jump from church to church to church to church. They're just always moving from one place to another. And be constant. Be consistent. God's given you a place to serve here, so serve God in this place. So, art thou called, being a servant, care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it, rather. Use whatever circumstances God gives you. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Verse 23, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Now, this is an excellent verse here. You're bought with a price. He's just told them, if you're a servant, serve. And if you can be made free, use it to work for Christ. And either way, you're a servant of Christ. But then he says, you're bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Now he's talking about a different kind of service here. There are some people that their whole life is about pleasing people. And, you know, if you're trying to serve God, sometimes trying to please people and serving God exclude one another. There are things I can do as far as, for instance, if I came in here and I was always worried about what everybody thought about what I was going to say, I wouldn't say anything. Couldn't preach. It's just impossible to serve God and to do what God wants you to do and make everybody happy all the time. For instance, there are convictions that you may have that other people don't have. Now, I don't drink alcohol. So I can't go to, you know, a party and hang out with people where everybody's drinking and they offer me something to drink because I'm not going to drink it. It just puts me out of place there. And there may be something different for you. It may be a conviction you have. It may be a freedom you have where if you're always going and trying to act like somebody else and please somebody else, for instance, let me see how I can say this without being offensive to somebody that may listen. Okay, so the folks that I used to work with, the crowd that I came from, okay, there are some things that I could do here in this church that would be offensive to them that might help the church to grow. Now, what do I do? I'm the pastor of Harmony Baptist Church. I can live the rest of my life in bondage to what somebody else may think of me, or I can worry about pastoring this church and do what's right for my church and our church. And so the question is, do we want to live the rest of our lives being servants of men, or do we want to serve Christ? And that's what he means when he says, be not ye the servants of men. Paul had been a leader amongst Jews, and he had persecuted Christians. Now he was saved, and he had Jews that wanted to kill him, wanted to hunt him down, wanted to put him in jail and kill him. And Paul had to decide, do I compromise or do I serve Jesus Christ? And that's the question that each one of us in our lives has got to make. In another place in the book of Galatians, Paul said this, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So if you live your life to please men, it's impossible to be a servant of Christ. And you've got to choose Christ or people. Christ or people. I'll try and make y'all happy. I like for people to be happy. But in the end equation, is it Christ or is it people? When I get ready to preach, some of the things I've preached here in the last several weeks, I thought, man, I'd rather not preach that. But it's in the Bible. It's what we're studying. So I had to preach it. And it's got to be Christ or is it people? And in your own life, the decisions you make, in the business you operate, Roger, if everybody else is being dishonest, don't you be dishonest, right? You do what's right. Jeff, if everybody else, I hate calling people out, but at any rate, it works in this situation. If everybody else is being dishonest, you be honest. You have integrity. You do what Christ wants you to do and what a Christian should do. If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And that goes for me too. So, number one, he said, live out your calling in your calling. Number two, stay in the same calling where you were called. Number three, stick with God in your calling. Stick with God in your calling. One verse here, but it's a wonderful truth. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. God says here, basically, stick with God. In whatever call you have, stick with God. Bring God into everything. Bring God into business. Bring God into church. Some people come to church and don't bring God. Oh, that's funny. My pastor used to tell a story about a man he worked for who was pastor of a large church down near Atlanta. And the man was so charismatic that he would have this great, it was during the days when Southern Gospel was huge, and he would have this huge Southern Gospel thing, and it would whip everybody up, and everybody would be swaying and getting ready for the service, and then he would come out. And my pastor said the man was so good that he went to a meeting one time and listened to a tape. In those days they had tapes. He listened to a tape of another, or it may have been an 8-track, I don't know, but he listened to a tape of another preacher. And he said by the time he got to that meeting, he went in, opened his Bible, and preached verbatim the message the other preacher preached on that tape. And everybody was just wowed by it because they hadn't heard the tape. So, but at any rate, the guy ended up, Brother Wayne was convinced. They found the man's wife killed, I believe in the tub, and she had been, there were claw marks where she had been strangled to death, and the guy's ministry fell apart after that. And my pastor was convinced that the man killed his wife. But it was an awful, awful situation. And some people are so good that they can come without God. Fortunately, I'm not that good. They're not getting anywhere. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need Christ. And if we have Christ, then the church will work. It will do what it's supposed to. It will grow. And people will be convicted if we have Christ. If we have Christ in our lives, we'll be able to be the parents we ought to be. If we have Christ in our lives, we'll be able to be the grandparents we ought to be. If we have Christ, we'll be able to be the employers and the employees and everything we ought to be. If we have Christ, we'll be able to serve as we ought to serve. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Have God. Bring God along, and things will work out. Because it's God's program anyway. It's God's calling. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that you would help us. Help us to serve you. Help us to stick with you. Help us to be servants of Christ and not of men. Help us to fulfill our calling within the calling you've given us. I do pray that you will just help us to serve you. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your call to salvation. We thank you for the work you've given us to do in this place. I do pray that you'll just fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to fulfill that. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you convict them and save them today, that they would turn to Jesus Christ and believe on Him as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior, and be born again and miraculously saved by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name.